Before he comes on, is there anything you want to discuss in secret?
Yes. I'm going to say, see how many times I can say meow without him noticing.
Yeah.
Go.
And we'll start this mofo.
Maybe get him to do a bumper?
Yeah, good idea.
I'm full of them.
You're full of something.
Thanks, buddy. You fool.
I'm a fool. I forgot.
Okay. Well, if we're all ready and we can start, then I'll start.
I'm ready. You ready, Coach?
I'm sorry. I'm ready. Yeah, I'm ready. I'm sorry.
Okay, then here we go.
Welcome to the Dead Zone Podcast. Dead Zone is the sci-fi tabletop miniature skirmish game from Mantic Games. And now, here are your hosts, Rob Harper and Jack Fike. I am your announcer, William Randolph Wintergreen.
Welcome to the 42nd episode of Dead Zone the Podcast for late September 2015. In this episode, we have another special guest. This time, it's Coach from FamilyGamer777 on YouTube. As always, you can go to deadzonegame.podbean.com to see all the pictures, or you can go to youtube.com/c/deadzonethepodcast for the video version of the show. And now on to the episode. Welcome to episode 42 of Dead Zone the Podcast. I'm Rob.
And I'm Jack.
800th time we started this one. And that's the news-a-thon continues.
The news-a-thon continues. Our last episode, just nigh on 2 weeks ago, we were chock-a-block full of news. It was a news-a-palooza.
News-a-palooza.
And does that trend continue? Is it a news-a-palooza?
It seems like it. In this one, we have that Jake and Ronnie tested a new Dead Zone. Ronnie posted up on his Facebook that they played it out, and you can see them playing the game. We have pictures up on deadzonegame.podbean.com.
There's
the men playing.
Some selfie action.
And there's the board.
Very nice. Look at that board they've got.
Yes, it's the secret weapon board with the Dead Zone terrain on. Yes, so they played, and there's another shot, a great sniper shot of them playing. And...
yeah, well, we did. We had heard rumors last show that Jake was back involved in the game, and this confirms it. We've got video proof. We've got photographic proof.
Yes, photographic proof. It's like the Loch Ness monster. He's a little blurry too, so it is like the Loch Ness.
More like a Sasquatch.
Oh, he's a Sasquatch.
Not to imply he looks at all like a Sasquatch.
No, he's got a nice shaped head now.
But I'm just saying that whenever you get a picture of Bigfoot, it's always like, meh.
Yeah, a little blurry. So Ronnie is quoted as saying, the game is cleaned up and speeded up, I think, rather than major changes. But Jake says the rats are vicious, because they were playing Ratmen versus Pathfinders.
It actually says the rats are victorious.
Yes, the rats were victorious, and they had one lucky rat who killed a Pathfinder in melee, which is kind of cool. And he killed his... another Pathfinder. One rat was killing everybody. And he survived the whole battle. But he said he only survived because he ran away and hid. But he said it's the results that count. So it sounds like they had a fun game and they're testing it out.
A little play testing, right at the source.
Well, it's nice to see the guy who designed the game and the owner of the company play testing it together.
Well,
I don't think you'll see that very often. You think the CEO of GW sits down with the game designers and plays games?
Well, I'm just a southern lawyer, but we're going to be playing some games here.
Sitting on a throne of
skulls. It's skulls, definitely, for GW.
I was going to with cash, but...
Cash and Skulls.
Cash and Skulls, which is the name of my rap album.
Oh, I thought it was the name of your Johnny Cash cover band.
Two Tsunami.
Oh. And let's have some concepts here. We have the Hund, or Rin Nomad. Hund is the character, and then Rin Nomad is just the generic. He's cool looking.
So Rin is probably the race, Nomad being his...
yeah, Rin, R-I-N. Yeah. And the first shot's a straight-on shot, and you can't really tell, but he's got four arms. Look at this shot. He's got like two little bitty arms behind him, holding guns. And then his two front arms, his regular arms have swords.
Now, it looks like, to me, Enemy Mine. You ever seen that movie?
Yep.
His face kind of looks like Lou Gossett Jr. Yeah, kind of thing. Well, another great concept.
He's cool looking.
It's original. It's something that's...
I'm not sure about the little arms holding the guns, but it's kind of cool. I'd almost rather them be robot arms or something. Robot arms. And here's the Nomad version. So he's got a different head.
Gas mask. Gotta love the gas mask.
And a big sniper rifle this time.
A sniper rifle, it's got no scope, my friend. I'm going to guess it's some kind of shotgun.
Rail gun of some sort. It's very long for a shotgun. And we also have some concepts of the new Kalishi, the warrior Asterians. We had the Kalishi already in Dreadball.
Yes.
And these are the Dead Zone versions. And they got long, like...
Dreads
and weapons.
I like the Dreadball, because they're like bikini-clad Dreadball. It's different. I'm kind of disappointed to see them kind of bikini-clad in a war zone, but...
But they're like warriors. I think they're kind of almost like... They go out there purposely without armor on to prove themselves. There's a male version.
You're saying that the Amazon... Well, okay, the male version as well, I guess.
Just, yeah, they're both scantily clad. It's not just the women.
It's not just cheesecake, then.
Yeah.
Okay.
And we also have the sprues for the Veerman... I think it's a... What are they called? Terrors? The regular guys. The Veerman guys.
So let's see some sprues. Okay, and there's just lots of bits and pieces.
You can see all the little head options and the arms and legs. And
I'm not going to try and figure out how many guys you can get from this single sprue. I'm seeing torsos, limbs, legs, heads.
And then they got the second sprue there, too. Oh, that's the... One's the front, one's the back.
But you can... Customizable... Right, yep. Off the hop. If you're looking for some rank and file that all have the same weapon options, you can do that. But it looks like if you wanted to go wild...
Look at all the different heads, and there are a lot of gas masks there.
Yeah, well, the vermin need them, because they've clearly they've got a chemical weapon, goo, diseased thing going on.
That's their thing. And then here's the Pathfinders with the dogs on there. You can see the dog shape. They made it the more sleek dog, not the little robot dog.
The robot that I liked.
The K-9.
That was probably shouted down by everyone, but someone... Tom Baker was there going, but come on.
It looks cool. Well, we'd rather have a panther-like dog.
Yeah, it's that teaches their own.
I personally like the new version better. He's much tougher looking. And...
Because it was like a British bulldog kind of
deal. Yeah, it looked like K-9. That's what it looked like.
It was... Okay.
So, yeah. So, we're getting the better version of the dog. Plus, there's lots of leg options. You got one crouching down, so you can have them, like, aiming. It's kind of cool.
So, we've gone from basically concept art and seeing some... I don't know, models that they've had that they've got made. They've got sprues now. They're... It's coming to fruition.
Yep. They're moving along, and it's January that infestation's supposed to hit, so we'll see. And Mantic's usually pretty good on time, so.
We've had very little in the way of problems with Mantic.
Kings of War is like a month late, maybe, and I think Dungeon Saga's going to be about a month late, but other than that, it's been hit right on.
Dead Zone was...
Where there's still other Kickstarters we're still waiting for 2 years now, so it's good to have some that actually hit. And don't forget, if it's still on... But it is still on when this comes out. Go back Warpath. At least go check it out.
The Warpath Kickstarter. We've all been keeping track, looking at it, doing our best to get the best deals possible, which is pretty easy considering it's Mantic, and that's no one can complain about the price point of Mantic. Any concerns you have about anything in general, price point cannot be one of them.
That is for sure. And we'll be right back after a little ad here, and we have a very special guest. We won't ruin who it is. It's a very special guest, so hold your breath. We'll be right back.
You have been listening to the Dead Zone Podcast with your hosts, Jack Fike and Rob Harper. The Dead Zone Podcast is dedicated to Dead Zone, the tabletop miniature game by Mantic Games. Visit them at manticgames.com.
Hey, this is Pat Lewis, North American Community Manager for Mantic Games, and you are listening to Dead Zone, the podcast.
And we're back from commercial. That was a fantastic one. I hope you all enjoyed it. We've got a special surprise, a special guest, someone that we've met before. We met at Adepticon, and someone we're very proud to have on the show, someone who's part of the Dead Zone community, as well as the YouTube community, and we're happy to announce that on the show with us right now is Coach
What's up, California? How's it going up there in Canada?
It's good. It's warm. Very well. It's nice. And, yeah, your YouTube channel is Family of Gamers 777, so everybody should check that out. A lot of great information on there. Well, at this point, let's get into what we're here to talk about. We'll talk about some weapons rules. Mm-hmm. You said that you got some opinions, so we're going to get into this stuff and see what your opinion is on some of this stuff.
Well, you know what they say about opinions, right? So
yeah, but that's our bread and butter right here. That's all we got.
That's what we do. We sit and we talk about our opinions and right or wrong. That's what happens here.
Yeah, but, well, that's fine because you know what? This is what we do. We play. It's like we're playing fantasy football. It's the same difference, you know?
Yep, for sure. Mm. So we'll start with deployable weapons. This is one that is kind of annoying, especially for the plague, mm-hmm. since to destroy them, you have to be able to pick them up, which makes no sense.
Right.
And so sentry guns. Have you come across sentry guns too often?
I love the model. I love the idea of them, but they don't work, man. They're almost like a waste of 10 points, I feel. You know, I you're better off getting 3 grenades.
Yeah.
Or jump pack or something. I don't, you know, hopefully in the redo, it's, something cool about it. Cause, the engineer is a cool model and he's basically just an enforcer with a heavy rifle. But,
just too much to put them out and take them away. And
yeah. And I've used them a few times and you put them out and nobody ever goes through them. So they basically sit there useless. And I'm like, oh God, you know, I could have threw a grenade at this guy, but I got a stinking sentry gun here. That's doing nothing.
That might be if they change the Overwatch rule a bit, that might make them a bit more useful.
Right.
As it is now, yeah, they just sit there. And once again, either they're just useless or, you know, when they first started, people were complaining that they're overpowered, but I think once you realize, just don't go near them. It's right. The solution.
Well, you know, you it's not even that. Overwatch, you take a shot, man. Anytime anybody's on Overwatch, I'll run right across the thing because you still got to roll the sixes to make it work. And I'll take my odds, you know, you got to roll 3 sixes to get the result you want. It's a 3 dice test. You know, I'll take a shot. You know what? All right. Oh, you're going to shoot me afterwards? All right. Fine. No problem. Go for it. And if I have a good save, I'm more than willing to take that chance.
Yeah. It's a little weak for what it's supposed to be.
Exactly. The Overwatch is, it's a little, I never really used it because just, you know, I can't say that. I've actually used it when I just wanted a guy to not move.
He
just,
yeah, not do anything else, yeah.
Right, so, all right, I'm going to throw him on Overwatch just in case. And I think, and out of all the games we've played a lot of games. And I think I was playing Eric, and Eric used Overwatch once, and I think he caused a wound, and that was about it. You know, and you know what it is? I think if you do the terrain correctly, you make it really claustrophobic, it's hard to have lines of fire. Mm-hmm. With that, because you're not really having a big area or a long corridor of empty space, which Overwatch would be good at. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe if you got a guy up high in the Overwatch, that might be good. But then again,
you'd rather just shoot with him.
I'd rather just take a shot.
Yeah,
I when we first started playing, I was using Overwatch quite a bit, and I don't know, very very rarely was it ever successful. So much so that it became a running joke.
Right.
That Rob would go ahead, just throw him in Overwatch. Like it was for something that should be an advantage. Like, okay, I'm sending this guy. He's here for a full turn. Like I've planted him here. He should be alert and aware. That's his job. The results just never ever were worth that commitment.
I mean, is it really worth a long action to be on Overwatch?
Exactly. Yeah, if you could move and then maybe go into it, might be slightly more useful. But
yeah, that wouldn't be bad. Like, you get yourself, you know, I want to get to this position. All right, I'm in this position. Maybe I have a sniper rifle. I have a deliberate weapon that I can't, you know, I need a long action to do. All right, I'll just kind of chill here and throw them on Overwatch. But, you know, a lot of times you just, you know, I just never used it really, you know.
And the next weapon thing we would like to talk about is the blast rule. Mm-hmm. How do you feel about blast?
I like the mechanic of it, but it's just like I've used it a lot, you know, throwing a grenade or missile launcher or just, you know, like playing the rebs, because if you take, you know, the right combination of rebs with the Sorak and the Craw and stuff, you get a lot of blast. The thing is that maybe one game we did blast, and I had four guys that had the opportunity to use blast weapons. And every single time I shot, I had to go back to the rules and roll the three tests. You know, it's like, all right, so this versus this. Okay, no, well, oh, you fell? Okay, wait, no, that's two floors. Okay, great. Wait a minute, you got a jump pack. All right, well, you don't have a jump. Oh, wait, you have glide. You don't have glide. All right, so you hit the wall? No, you didn't hit the wall. And it was very, very, that was like a clunky.
Yeah.
To the point where it was like, you know what, screw it. I'm not even going to take blast weapons anymore. I'll just shoot you with a gun. But the blast mechanic is great. You throw a grenade, the guy blows up. He gets thrown into a wall. He gets thrown off a wall. He goes flying. He gets hit. He goes into another thing. The guy next to him might get blown away or might get hurt by shrapnel.
It's fun.
It's a great concept that needs to be worked.
And same with Frag. Obviously, it's the same idea.
Yeah.
I think they're going to combine Blast and Frag in the future. Yeah. Just make them one thing, because it's the same thing. One just does damage, and the other one just knocks you around, right? So.
Yes.
And when it comes right down to it, with the blast. And being prone or in cover, mathematically sometimes blazing away, you know, there's some things that just sound good, sound like it's going to be an action packed, but the result is you're looking at your cheat sheet or looking through the book, and then it's okay, that was a reasonable result. Okay, so he was knocked down. It doesn't have the impact, the cinematic thing of. That you'd expect from something called Blast or what it's supposed to.
Or Massive Frag.
Yeah.
You know, that, like, Massive Frag means, like, you're going to blow up half the board. And, you know, it just wasn't, it was kind of, you know, I mean, I can't tell you how many Massive Frags went off and we just rolled out of it.
Oh, yeah. That's a Jack all the time. He tries to mortar me and, just miss.
Right.
It's frustrating because you're like, well, that just, you know, you want to do a lot of damage to a huge area and, nothing happens.
Well, the best way to beat those Massive Frag weapons is just to get within half range of them. Just send something fast up there.
Yeah.
Use movement cards and stuff and just get in half range. They're like, I'm going to shoot you. Oh, well, I'm within three, so you can't shoot me. And then there's nothing you can do. So, you know, I don't know if we're going into the next topic. And, Jack, you might have to stop me because I'm kind of a Yenta Segway guy. But, when you're deploying the Plague Mortar or the gun tracks and stuff, when you get right next to them, you're just going to roll one or two turns and just beat them up. So four guys, you know, the one guy holding, like, say, let's say the plague with the mortar, the one guy's holding the shell and the other guy's got the booger on his finger because he's pointing, you know, they can fight back, but then the gun track just doesn't fight back. Like, oh man, we're dead.
Yeah.
You know, so maybe those guys will be able to have like a gun or something. Be able to do something in combat.
Defend yourself, yeah.
Yeah, like, you know, cause we played a few times. I don't know if this is a good rule or whatever, where, I just left the mortar there and had the two play guys run up and start a fight.
And you just didn't even use the mortar?
Yeah, you know, it got to a point where it's like, all right, they're too close. Screw it. Let's abandon the mortar and let's go just try to bite them or something. You know, we played that for a while, like as a house rule, and it seemed to work out. You know, you got two guys standing there. You might as well put them to use.
Yeah. Yeah, what, the mortar's great for like the first two rounds, and after that, it's pretty useless.
Right. Exactly.
Because some of the frag weapons, like the mortar, they differ in that you can shoot directly. You can directly fire at something. Then there's indirect fire. But some other things, like you mentioned, the track, the goblins, they don't have that option.
Right.
So there's a kind of a disparity between what you can do in the case of someone coming up on you real fast with something.
Mm-hmm.
You have these almost undefendable positions now because they've become into that range.
Mm-hmm.
It's I don't know how you would fix it.
Yeah, you would, with your mortars, Jack, you would always just put a plague swarm right next to them and protect them that way, but it's kind of, you don't want to waste a good unit just holding, protecting them, right?
Yeah, it's kind of a waste of a plague swarm. He should be up wreaking havoc and very tough and just destroying people, you know.
Well, I would put something there and again, put it in Overwatch, and if somehow, you know, Rob got sneaky, they would be there to, as a defending, I'd never thought to even, okay, well, why couldn't these guys abandon the mortar and do whatever? That's a brilliant idea. But, it seems like you said, there's there's something wrong with the model not being able to defend itself after a certain range has been reached.
Well, you know, the best thing to do with the mortars is to leave it in your box, buy another booster, and get two boomsticks, because they seem they're you can go indirect or you can go, you know, straight shot with them. You know, we were using him as a sniper. Get him up top, you know, use a move card, get him up top, make him accessible to the board where you can blast some stuff. And the boomstick I like a lot, just that they're shooting is crap. And, you know, they're shooting on fives and sixes, and, you know, everybody else is like, especially in force, shooting on fours. It's a little tough to shoot with them. That's why I think the combat plague lists are a lot more popular than the shooty plague lists.
Yeah, for sure. Stage threes generally don't work so great.
Yeah, stage three is like, if I have six extra points, I'll throw a stage three in there. Either that or two dogs. And
yeah, the dogs are way better.
Yeah, yeah, but, you know, I don't have enough dogs, so I'll grab one stage three just for the hell of it. And maybe blaze away, because you get a better chance of blazing away than you do with shooting at them.
But with the boomstick, rather than the indirect fire, and you have the direct fire, you don't have the scatter dice. If you can get a hit, you would hope that there would be this very, very, because it is hard to hit. You would hope that there's going to be a big reaction, some damage done.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
Right now,
you kind of it's to quote my buddy Jack, it's a big deal. Really, it's not a big deal. You know, you're thinking, and oh my God, I finally hit. What? No damage?
Yeah, exactly.
The best thing that happens is your pin.
Yeah, which they, most of the time you get the card, just stand right back up.
Yeah, you know. But, the card can't be used for that. That was in, one of the FAQs on Quickworthy.
Oh yeah?
Yeah, somebody tried, my first match at Adepticon. He was a newer player. I think he's only been playing a few days, and he had a Forge Guard with a missile launcher, and he tried to do that, and he was trying to say to me, he says, well, if you have a card, you can use this. No, you can't. And then I had to go to the Quickworthy, and I didn't finish that game because this guy, all he did was ask questions.
Yeah,
so, you know, maybe I don't know, we're going off a tangent here, but maybe you should know how to play the freaking game before you actually go into the tournament. So, you know, but that was a little rough, but I remember on Quick Word, the FAQs was, it's, if you get blazed away, you can use the steadfast card, but not not for blast.
Oh yeah,
your pin. You gotta wait. You gotta get mean or whatever next turn.
Yeah, yeah.
You know.
And the last one we have on our list is the It Burns rule.
It Burns is the greatest thing ever. If they get rid of It Burns, I'm gonna go get on a plane and have a face to face with Jake.
But the problem with It Burns is if you can't get your what's it called, if you can't reduce your aggression, you can't be damaged by it.
Well, you know, I think it's I don't know if it's an aggression thing. I think it's more like the way we've been playing it and the way we interpret the rules. I could be wrong, which won't be the first time. But when you shoot, you do damage with it, and then you're on fire. So now if you don't put out the fire, you're taking damage. So that's a great rule, I think. And I think that, just like blast, needs to be streamlined, because it makes sense. It's almost like I think of it like I'm throwing a Molotov cocktail. Now, either I hit you in the head with it, but if I miss you, I light the thing on fire, and then you get a chance to put it out or not put it out that turn. And if you don't put it out, you start taking burning damage. It's a cool rule. Like that's, when I was playing Johnny P, he got really mad because I put his plague swarm, he was doing the infiltrate, and he was right on the edge of the board, and I put him on fire. And so he says, all right, I'm going to run him off the board. I said, no, you can't. You're on fire. So what do I got to do? And it was like, we were calling it the stop, drop, and roll. It's a long action, and he had to roll to try to put out the fire. So if you're on fire, you're screwed. And I think I gave that guy one wound, and then I suppressed his stage one, and he was screwed. So then I ended up winning the match that way. But I think they need to like streamline that. That if they could streamline that, make it a little better. That's just a monumentally tough, awesome rule to have. You know, I really like that. It Burns is just great.
Yeah, the way that you're saying it works great, but the way that they played it at the Adepticon night when we had the mechs.
Yeah.
The fire wouldn't damage anyone because you can't lower the aggression. That's the way they were playing it.
Really? Because I don't think so. I think it goes by wounds, but and I could, like I said, I could be wrong, but that's the way we interpreted it. You know, you're on fire, so you're not.
Yeah, because what was it, Jack? You had a point where you jumped out with your flamethrower and they wouldn't let you do anything.
Yeah, it was part of the rules that the flamethrowers couldn't damage the other mechs because of that, and it was Johnny P and
Jeff Burbage.
Jeff Burbage. They got into an alley and they were going hand to hand with their two striders, and I turned the corner and I thought, oh, this is fantastic. I'll fill that square full of fire.
Correct.
JP just looked at me and goes, you can't do any damage. And I, at the time, I thought, well, I'm just going to get a fistful of dice, and maybe if I get a bunch of sixes, I could just, you know, right. I could be a flame-throwing monster. And,
right. You get a few sixes, a bunch of eights, and you're in business.
Yeah, like I thought I would be able to just to really, no, and it was just a rules thing.
Mm.
Yeah, it's just those little loopholes that are the things they got to plug up, right?
Well, you know what it is? That's up to interpretation because I don't read it that way. I don't think it's a change of aggression. I think it's you're on fire and you got to put it out. And
yeah, what you're saying, it makes total sense. But yeah, that's not the way they were playing it.
Yeah, like if I look at it like, let's say I have a Molotov cocktail and I throw it at you and I hit you in the chest. Ow, that hurt. Plus I'm on fire. Yeah. Now I throw it at you and you dip and you move out of the way, but it hits the wall behind you. Now that room you're in is on fire and you happen to get caught on fire. Oh, it's like I was saying before. I'm throwing more dice at you. I'm throwing the damage dice at you and the fire dice at you.
They gotta expand the fire rules, I think, to make it so that you could, that kind of thing happens more. You can light whole squares on fire, and if you go through them, you can damage that kind of stuff.
Right.
That'd be interesting.
Yeah, you know, this, I don't want them to get rid of that rule. I really like that.
Well, I don't think they'll get rid of it. I think they just have to modify it. Like, make it more clear, obviously, since none of us really know what's going on. And,
you know what it is with Mantic? Mantic will give you an answer. Like, I know dealing with Games Workshop. I know you guys hate to talk about Games Workshop, but, they're out there. We have to take note of them.
We just don't have the experience with it. We've never been involved. So to speak about something you don't know that much about is just seems, it's just safe not to venture over there for us because we have no experience of it.
Yeah. You know what it is? It just seems like, when I was talking with some of the Mantic guys, that's a great approach. I never played it. I don't have an opinion on it. The other guys are like, no, it's terrible. Forty, you still playing that? Why do you play it? I don't, you're so stupid. One, don't call me stupid. Number two, they're there and they're doing stuff. But the thing with them is, you know, hey, listen, we don't understand this rule. Well, read the book. Well, no, if I don't understand it, if I'm reading the Odyssey and I don't understand what he's trying to say, I'm going to ask the teacher. And GW says, well, if you read the rules, I mean, hold on, let me read it. Yeah, it's plain as day. You should be able to figure it out. That's a do as I say, not as I do type rule. And it just doesn't make sense. And not for nothing, I'm throwing a lot of money at you. Maybe you could just help us out a little bit.
Yeah.
You know, but, that was, the Ian Burns rule. They streamline it. I think it'll be great.
Yeah, that's the key. I think for most of these rules, it just needs streamlining.
Well, I'm sorry. My biggest bugaboo. The biggest one, I don't know if we're going to cover it, is 8P. Is that on your list?
No, but we'll definitely talk about it. I was just going to ask you, what's the ones you don't like?
I have one about 8P, too, that I was going to bring up.
All right, I know, Jack, we're on the same wavelength. Tell me if this is what you were going to say. All right, so I have an enforcer, peacekeeper, sergeant, or a peacekeeper captain. I got my big guy. He's got this blade, you know, AP1, AP2. And he comes up alongside of a strider and he like punches inside of it with his AP weapon, pulls the guy out and, you know, steps on his face. And then he goes over to, one of the marauders with the armor, you know, AP1, hits him with an AP2 thing and destroys him. 1, 2, 3. And then I get killed by a freaking Morbius because he doesn't have any armor.
Because you don't do as much damage to non-armored things.
Yeah, because he has no armor. So I have this massively, you know, strong weapon. And I hit a non-armored thing, and it doesn't do anything.
It should do more damage.
Yeah, it should.
There's a reason why it punched through the armor.
Correct. Yeah. You know, that's my biggest thing. You have an AP1 gun, and you're shooting it at, let's say, a plague dog, and he just kind of shuns it off.
Yeah.
You know, now I don't know if that's because he's very agile, but if I have, let's say, an enforcer sniper.
Yeah, anything.
Exactly. The killer, I put him up. you know, and I'm throwing 9 dice at you and you're going to shrug it off because you have no armor. I don't know, you know, that always bothered me.
And that is AP, it's one of those things that it's in that instance where you're doing more damage to things that are more heavily armored, but less damage to something that's just a soft, fleshy target.
Mm-hmm.
And on the other hand, someone with an AP 2 armor, like they have the armor, and it seems to be easier. You're more vulnerable wearing the armor, and it's something that I don't know. How would you fix it?
You know, I kind of equated it to, like, if a guy has a bulletproof vest on and he gets hit with a 12 gauge, he's going to be in bad shape, but hopefully he's going to survive. But if the same guy point blank range doesn't have a bulletproof vest on, it's going to be bad news for him.
Yeah.
But in Dead Zone, it's the opposite.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know how to fix that.
I think it just, instead of having armor piercing, they should just make weapons do damage almost, where some weapons do more damage. It's because it's shooting through armor, it's a stronger, larger caliber or whatever, right?
Well, they had something they were working on that if it's double AP, it makes you vulnerable.
Mm.
So if you make one wound on the guy, it'll do something. You know, they were playing with that a little bit.
That's interesting, yeah.
Yeah, that's a little wonky, though. It was a little tough to do because, you know, all right, so
you're more math.
Right, exactly. But then if he rolls all the saves, then he's good. It's...
Yeah.
You know,
you just got to make it, somehow that they either easier to hit if they have higher AP or just, do more damage somehow.
Right. Yeah, I don't, that's...
Yeah, like a rocket launcher does the same damage as a pistol, right?
Correct.
It's just, you're just rolling, like, it's not even more dice or anything. It's the same thing.
It's
the difference is if the guy has armor, you're going to be doing more damage.
Or, I mean, how many plague dogs have killed striders?
Oh, I've had plague dogs kill everything on my...
Right, exactly. So it's, you know, it's a little off.
Or mobbies, too. Mobbies can rip through whatever.
5-point mobbies, they're just terrible AP.
Too cheap.
Yeah. Oh, my God, they're horrible.
They're awesome if you're playing them, but...
If you're playing, if they're on your side, they're great.
Yeah, exactly.
But I do appreciate the fact that with the exploding dice, I know there's people who don't like the exploding eights, but I appreciate the fact that any given day, any person, any model can kill any other model. The planets align and he's just having his best day. Mm-hmm. I like the fact that a plague dog can kill a Territon. I like the fact that a goblin sniper can kill a strider. Mm-hmm. That being possible is fun.
Right. And also you can, vice versa, that strider may, the plague dog might be able to run between his legs, exploding eights. You know, it's the same
dodge
difference.
Dodge him, yeah.
Yeah, you know, it works both ways. You know, I mean, we both, if you played long enough, you're on the receiving end of, you know, oh man, I can only roll 2 dice. And then you end up rolling 7 because you just, you know, blast out a bunch of eights.
Yeah.
And, you know, you've been on the receiving side where it's like, right, I got 9 hits and he rolls 10 saves.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh my goodness, you know.
Yeah, that's why dice are interesting. It always has a chance.
Well, if it was, if everything was predetermined, we wouldn't play the game because it'd be boring.
Yeah, exactly. Or if just the same people would win every time.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, is there anything else that you had on your list?
You pretty much covered it. And, I think a little bit more rules for, like, the fusion guns or, you know, like,
make them different in some way.
Yeah. I have the play guy with the experimental weapon.
Yeah. Jack has them too.
Yeah. What's, you know, there's really not, it's kind of vague, you know, the experimental weapon. It's like a fun thing, you know, the fact that
it could kill you.
It could explode in your face, you know. Well, and, if you played 40K, they have plasma weapons, and if you roll a 1, it gets hot, and you can actually injure yourself or kill yourself. So that's the risk of taking it. But when it hits you like a hammer. Mm-hmm. But if it backfires, the hammer hits you. So, you know, stuff like that, you know, they gotta kind of flesh that stuff out.
I think with these new stat lines that they're going for, I think that kind of stuff would be a lot easier for them to make everybody slightly different, a little bit more variety, and add more into that kind of stuff.
Yeah, yeah. And you could change things around, and you can actually equip a guy with something.
Mm-hmm.
I've never used the experimental just because between the points cost and the weapon, it didn't seem worth fielding. But if you're saying like they make it something different, something like really make that weapon, the fusion weapon, make it something unique,
mm-hmm.
then you would want to go, okay, yeah, he's
take
worth
the
it.
Chance with him, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, if it's, you know, it priced accordingly, maybe it's a little bit more expensive or it's a little bit where it needs to be. You know, sometimes it's like, sometimes you don't want to take, stage twos because of Rampage.
Yeah.
When I was playing, Hot Dice at the Adepticon, he had his stage, two rolled Rampage standing next to another stage two, and he just, I controlled him and destroyed the stage two.
Buddy.
Next to, yeah. And, you know, so those rules are scary. That's why, like, Sergeant Howlett has that. I'll never take him because I'm scared of him. You know, all right, guys, we're going to go out here. Oh, wait a minute. I got to kill a few of you guys before we go. I'm all pent up, you know.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's kind of like the experimental rule, you know, that makes you crazy, you know, makes you scared.
Yeah, with Sergeant Howlett, it's like, how do you become a sergeant if he's killing his own people? That's all I'm wondering. He must know somebody.
He's that badass, man. He's, you know, step out of line, I'm going to have to smack you back into it. And Sergeant Al is probably my favorite model in the whole Dead Zone universe.
I know, he's awesome. That's why I hope they improve him in some way to make him useful.
I made him because he's hitting the ground. Like the one I modeled, he's like power gloving it and breaking the floor a little bit. Like he's punching the floor.
Awesome.
Like the Iron Man thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the guy I'm looking to field.
Yeah.
But, you know, good things on the way, I think.
I think so too. From everything we're hearing, looking good.
Well, what we've heard is the way they're going to do leadership with your leaders and how they're going to you build a team around a specific leader. You have to build a specific type of team with a little bit of wiggle room. It's going to make the ability to choose some of the mercenaries that you want that you always liked and kind of build around them and hopefully.
Right.
Make something that's compatible with their playstyle.
Well, I really like the thing that you guys came up with. It's like, first of all, I agree, Dr. Simmons is the worst model in the world.
Okay, yeah.
She does absolutely nothing for the plague. But, if I have a character who is like Howlett or Recon that only works for the Enforcers, he's not a mercenary. He's just a character.
Yeah,
he's an issue. He's not a mercenary.
Yeah. So,
yeah, that's right.
You know, you're not going to have Recon hanging out with the Marauders. He's going to be, you know, or he's like, you know, listen, you got any money, Asterians? Let me help you guys out. If it's a true merc, then a merc can be bought. But if they're, not, like, you know, even, cause like we have Wrath. That was one of the first models we picked up. We picked up Recon and Wrath. And Wrath will work with anybody but the Enforcers. Okay, that's a merc.
Yeah, it makes sense. He just has moral objections with working with
exactly. You know, they made him who he was a pacifist, and they made him who he was. And I'm not going to kill for you guys, but I'll kill you guys.
Yeah,
that's awesome. That's a good piece of fluff right there.
Exactly.
But you know, Recon's like only works for Enforcers, and so does Howlett. He's not like you said. He's not a he's a hero. Like he's like you guys quoted.
Yeah.
And I think that's the whole stat line thing.
Yeah, for sure. And I think that was something that came after. The Kickstarter exploded, and then they made all these extra characters, and then they're like, oh, okay, they'll be in this section. But then they forgot, oh, wait, mercs have different rules. Then, like, you can't even use them as leadership, even though Simmons and Howlett both have leaders. Like, they can't be leaders, so it makes no sense.
Well, that's I think, almost definitely going to change in the new.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You know, which makes sense. I have every hero, or, you know, every merc,
yeah.
The model, and they're awesome, but I want to use them, but I, you know, can't.
No.
And, In the tournament, they said, you know, you could use factions, but no mercs.
It's because they're way too powerful. Either they're way too powerful or they're way too useless. There's no middle ground.
Right. I would have took my Forge Fathers and four Nastanzas, and I would have been
involved. That's right.
There you go. Like, that's the go-to. In a balance issue, everyone goes, okay, the mercs are okay to a degree. Oh, and then there's Nastanza.
Right. Well, there's a way to kill her. I mean, you get her in combat.
No, but, you got to get to her. That's the key.
Correct. You know, so you're going to kill half your guys just to, you know, if she's on the field, you have to kill her.
Yep.
There's no two ways about it because she has a undeliberate sniper rifle.
Yep.
Which is perfect. You know, so you know you got to kill her, but you got to get her in combat. Once you get her in combat, she doesn't last one round.
Yeah.
But you know, getting to her, she's unbelievable.
Yeah. You just sit at the back of the board and let them come at you and just kill one guy around.
All right. You take five guys to kill me, I'll take that. Yeah. I'll take that.
Let alone the rest of whoever's in her unit.
Right. Well, then, yeah, then you got to worry about the rest of the army.
Yeah, it's the point cost. Like, if you made her like 60 points, sure.
She's definitely worth 60 points.
Her and a couple plague dogs, that'd be a good fight, but still. Yeah. Yeah. But, well, I don't know if there's anything else. I think we've covered most stuff here.
Just a little editor's note here. Check out 42.5 of Dead Zone, the podcast, where we continue our talk with Coach. And he goes into a lot more depth of various things that he may have been playing. Jack would call it a tease. And now back to your regular scheduled program.
It is time for a brief message from our friends at Warmore Radio.
It's time to enter the Strike Zone.
The Strike Zone podcast is the ultimate guide to the miniature sports game, Dreadball. From the ringside seats of an underground Dreadball Extreme match to the glitz and glamour of Dreadball Classic, the Strike Zone strives to bring you the latest and greatest Dreadball has to offer. I am your host, Adam, a.k.a. Mr. Voxman, and you can find out more at warmoreradio.com.
Welcome back to the Dead Zone Podcast. It is shout-outs time.
And we're back. And we have some shout-outs.
And yes. We've got to... that was an excellent interview. I want to just say thanks again.
Yeah, thanks to the coach. He's the man.
He is the man. And yeah. It's hard to get back into the show after like doing interviews like that, but we gotta plug along.
Soldier on.
We gotta keep it pro.
Professionals. Look it up. So our shout out is from Ian McCulder. He's contacted me before, and he's from Denmark. And he says, love the show, guys. Thought I'd send you a couple of photos of my minis as potential inspiration for Jack's Plague, and please keep up the great work. So here's what we're talking about. Remember we were saying that you might want to change your plague up?
Well.
Here's his plague, and he did...
like a blue
purplish with like bone armor.
That bone armor is very popular, and I will not disagree with anyone who decides to go that route.
Yeah, it's super cool looking.
It looks really good. But the basing options.
Yeah, he did like you with the some of the ones there, but he's cool. A crouching down one there.
Yeah, I'm seeing some.
These are all stage twos.
I'm seeing some really nice just. Is that airbrush? It's so good that I can't tell exactly how he did a lot of the stuff on there.
Yeah, I think it's brushed, but it looks really nice. And they also sent we got a bunch of enforcers from him too to look at. And I love the line work. This is exactly the kind of line work that I want to do. He did red with like a lighter red for line work, but
wow.
He made it look so good. Way better than I could do.
Yeah, we've just been shamed by a lad from Denmark.
And they kind of got like a little Tron appeal. They got a little.
You know what? You're right. It looks almost like that's illuminated. Like the part their armor is
little got a glow lines around it.
Yeah,
he did a really good job. I like him a lot. And once again, great basing too. Look at those bases.
Yeah.
So yeah, he sent all his enforcers. And I do appreciate he took the picture in front of his keyboard, because I always take my pictures in front of my keyboard also.
And it just goes to show that I like getting pictures.
Yeah.
But the shout-outs, my favorite shout-outs are people showing their stuff like that, because I'm literally just looking at these pictures in awe. That's a fantastic job.
Yeah, we do like seeing other people doing their Dead Zone minis. So if you have any Dead Zone minis and you took pictures of them, send them in to deadzonepodcast@gmail.com and we'll give you a shout out and show them off.
And everyone can marvel at your handiwork.
And it is really nice.
Really nice.
And now, a review from your hosts at the Dead Zone Podcast.
So we'll go on to review. We'll do a quick review in here. It's a follow-up review.
Follow-up review, a review B.
Call it Zen Terrain Redux. And it's zenterrain.com. Before we talked about them, but we never got to show the assembled ones. And Jack got them assembled and painted up. And please tell us, Jack.
Yes,
how did that go?
We received them. Please go listen to the original.
I'll insert episode number here.
Episode 36.
There you go. That's the episode.
Perfect. Number. I like how you handled that. You just took charge right there. That's.
I'm the editor, so I know what I can do. I know my abilities.
Producer, editor, head animal wrangler. You've got a lot of.
Well, no, you're the head animal wrangler. I'm the one who aggravates the animal.
Yeah. So we did the original review, and we did it then because we were so surprised. They were sprueless MDF terrain, and we had multiple buildings in a box.
Yeah, really ergonomic.
Compact. It was fantastic. And so we didn't have time to assemble it then. We did a review. We gave it a kind of like a cursory unboxing, if you will.
Yep.
Which would probably now find its way on your personal blog.
Yes. Go to falleninfantry.wordpress.com.
And see what
plug
what kind of stuff that Rob's been getting into.
But yes, so these Zen terrain here.
So Zen
how's
terrain.
The construction?
I really liked putting them together. It does require wood glue.
Well, it is MD or HDF.
But it doesn't. They don't lock. There's no. Some stuff we've done before. Yeah. It kind of tabs in together, and all of a sudden, oh, it's sturdy. It's fine. This does require some.
It's actual assembly, not just or actual like gluing together.
Yes. So that's why I said it required wood.
That makes sense.
I'm glad we're
it
on the
all
same
comes
page.
Full circle.
Yes. Yes. I guess there's going to be no argument over that.
It did need wood glue. I don't know. I wasn't there.
I enjoyed putting them together. We had was, and thank you, Zentrain did actually send these to us free of charge. So I want to say thank you.
Yep, check them out.
They came again. How it showed up was an amazing.
We went over that last
bit time. Of engineering. But the no sprues was for me fantastic. I was building right off.
Yeah,
the hop.
How annoying is it when you're trying to cut out the sprues? Like such pain.
I've got big. Gorilla hands and damage is almost assured.
Breakages
and we got two hab ones they're called. One that's a called a barrack, which I did assemble, but I did not paint. I want Rob to paint it.
I'll just paint it green. I don't understand why you want me to paint.
Oh, okay.
You did a better job. Paint it.
And the other one is called a. Military compound or
something like outpost.
Outpost, that's what it was. The outpost, I really like.
Yeah, that's super cool.
They've all got the same aesthetic, which is good. You can build a bunch of them. The habs are kind of basic squat.
But even then, for basic buildings, they've done some things in this with cutouts and different levels that makes it different.
You really like the aesthetic. They've gone out of their way to make something that looks really 3D, which is good. And so, yeah, I put it together. You'll see they're a bit smaller than, say, a full 38 mil.
Yeah, it's almost like a, especially with the what do you call it, the barracks or whatever they called it. It's almost like a tent or a little storage shed.
It's not
something you'd want to live in. It's something that definitely they throw up on the field and you just two guys or three guys sleep in it, you know?
So I put one of the Dead Zone miniatures, a Type 3 there, that so you can see for scale. But really, they're almost 3-inch by 3-inch.
Well, they're 3 inches tall. We figured that out.
Yeah, they're 3 inches
tall. And they're 6 inches wide by 4 inches wide, I think, the one.
Yeah, or 5 inches. Very close. Yeah. Close enough to scale. If you're thinking Warpath, then you're...
Yeah, these would be perfect for... You're not going to go inside them, really. You're just going to, you know...
Well, that's the thing. I left one door off, so you could, in Dead Zone, if you want to play...
Slip guys in. You can, we like lifting them up, put them in, put them down. And these are small enough and easy enough to do that with.
So I'm going to say that I enjoyed building them. They turn out very nice.
And what did you use to paint them?
Oh, I used wood stain. The paint on the MDF, it does take...
It just soaks in forever.
Soaks in. Even this stuff that on I originally bought as a Minwax mahogany.
Trying to use it as a quick shade
kind of thing. Using it for quick shade, and it's thick, it's viscous, it's got a lot of pigment in it, and even that soaked right in, made a nice brown color.
And it's supposed to be shiny when you put it on wood, and this is dull when you first put it on because it just soaks so much in.
It soaks right in. And the only thing that I would say that if you're going to buy this and put it together, just be careful where you put the wood glue.
Well, it shows, yeah.
It does show. So I've used Rust Effects to hide a lot of the imperfections. That makes sense, yeah. No, I enjoyed putting this together. I think the results speak for themselves. And if you want to build a board...
cheaply.
Cheaply. Like, I don't know the price.
They were pretty cheap, I remember.
Like I said, we've... in the show notes, we'll give you. It's zenderain.com. You can go take a look. And I know they sell the HAB units in multiples, but you want to fill a board.
Yeah, easy to fill a board quickly.
It comes in these tiny little boxes. The shipping cannot be that much. And I would recommend it.
Yeah, they're out of all the ones we've reviewed, I think these are my favorite. They might not be the biggest, but they're the coolest, I think.
They're not the flashiest, they're not the biggest, but as far as I'm concerned, they're the most versatile for what we want, for what we need.
I really like them.
And for ease of assembly, it was enjoyable.
Yeah. And so check them out at Zen Terrain. And don't forget to also, while you're on the internet, go to something we always forget to talk about is... cafepress.ca/deadzonepodcast to get shirts and merch.
What would you possibly want to get from that Snuggies. Website?
Snuggies.
A Dead Zone Snuggie?
That'd be kind of cool. I don't know if it's available, but that'd be fun. And also go to my...
well, because, you know, if you want some quality apparel and you want to, you know, show your love.
We do love our Dead Zone shirts.
We do have Dead Zone shirts.
And you can also go to falleninfantry@wordpress.com to check out unboxings we've been doing. And,
anything else to plug?
No, I think that's a good plugging.
You whore!
Thanks. And we'll take a quick break here, and we'll come back and we'll just go over some Warpath stuff just to fill out the rest of this episode.
We're gonna, with Coach's interview, we left him lots of time, but we do have to finish out Warpath. We have, just this one last little bit to get done, and that will finish our Warpath. By the time you're hearing this, the beta rules...
The new betas are out.
The new betas are out, so we're going to be... I think we've covered it.
Yeah, I think we covered the Warpath beta pretty well.
We'll be maybe even playing soon.
Yeah, we'll try. We also got a lot. We got Kings of War to play, and Dreadball we haven't even touched.
We haven't touched Dreadball. We haven't played Kings of War. I'm not ready with my Hadros or
Yeah,
not
we've
ready
been yet. Working on our Kings of War armies.
Basing's going to be a bastard. I want to get a couple games of Get Dead Zone in. We have not played in quite some time.
It's been a while.
We have some new rules that maybe we can play test, and maybe, just maybe a game, two games, do a... battle report next time.
Yep, that sounds good. We'd like to get some battle reports going again.
But first, let's get this out of the way. We've got the final installment, our Warpath. Get it done.
It is time for a brief message from our friends at Iron Watch Magazine.
Do you like Mantic Games? Do you want to read about your favorite games in a monthly magazine? Have we got the offer for you? Iron Watch Magazine. Iron Watch brings you the latest news, articles, and short stories taking place in the Mantic universe. Dreadball, Kings of War, Dead Zone, Warpath. You want it? They got it. Ironwatch.wordpress.com. Get it now for the low, low price of free. You can't beat that at twice the price. That's Ironwatch.wordpress.com.
Download now.
Hey, this is Jack from the Dead Zone Podcast, and you've been listening to the Dead Zone Podcast.
With Jack from the Dead Zone Podcast.
So much Dead Zone Podcast, it'll make you vomit.
So this one, we just want to talk about the forces in Warpath, and they've released the Forge Fathers, the Plague, the Corporation, and the Enforcers, and the new one has the, which we're not going to go over, is the Veermen have been released also. And it's just, we want to just quickly overview the kind of things that you get in the kind of units that they're showing up as. So, for example, for the Forge Fathers, most of them get all these people are equipped with, like, hailstorm rifles, burst pistols, and assault weaponry, which I assume is, like, bayonets and stuff like that. Or, like, some kind of assault weapon is, like, the general term for when you attack people. Even your fists, I guess, can be technically assault weaponry. And they also have forge hammers, of course. They're Forge Fathers, so they got their hammers. And they all have the rule Headstrong, which helps you remove suppression from you. But they have things like Forge Father Steel Warriors, which have They have like Hailstorm autocannons, and then Stormridge Veterans, which are actually Stormridge Veterans are the four trods we actually have. They came in the crazy boxes. Those were for Stormridge Veterans. So we have some of those actually. And there's something called a Rakier team with flamethrowers, Dragon's Breath Flamers. And then they have Militia, which are obviously just kind of like a weaker Militia kind of four dwellers, just general rank and file. And they got Brokers, which are the
Brokers,
yeah, which are in Dead Zone, obviously. And they also have Valkyrs, which are the vehicles, like the bikes. And they have Forge Guard, and they have Iron Ancestors. And you have like three Iron Ancestors in a squad kind of coming at you. It's
so
scary.
So basically what you've seen from the Forge Fathers thus far in Dead Zone, and now a couple new tweaks.
Yeah, the new thing. Here's the new thing. So we get a Forge Father Transport Tank, a Forge Father Flame Assault Tank, a Forge Father Battle Tank, and then what was already in the old Warpath, the Jotun Weapons Platform, which we have. It's like four barrels.
Yes, yes. Looks like a anti-aircraft gun, but pointed
directly at people's faces.
Yes, horizontally.
So yeah, the Forge Fathers look like they're, yeah, it's everything you get from Dead Zone, but then you add tanks.
Which you've been jonesing, your pants have been tight thinking about vehicles.
I know, but Forge Fathers, I'm not really a Forge Father guy. But
well, that's the very first force that you've just discussed. I know corporations on that list. I know.
Yep.
I know enforcers are on that list, and I know you and your money are soon to be parted.
Well, let's talk about your faction, the Plague, next.
Okay.
So Plague, obviously, is going to be a lot of third gen. So it's going to be the rank and file.
Hopefully there's some adjustments that make them...
It looks like they're going to have HMGs and mortars and...
From the back, I like the new models. The first ones, I'm not going to be trash-talking Mantic, but the first starter box, the Type 3s,
Not to mention the useless sculpts in the game, too.
The sculpts weren't great. Yeah. The stats weren't compelling.
The difference between like the third gens and the zombies is a huge step up. And now it looks like the zombies have gone to these new third gens. Like.
So that's what I'm looking forward to. Yeah,
that's true. It's a good point. And then
thank you, Rob.
The zombies, or you can actually have zombies in the force, which is cool.
That is amazing, because we have zombies, and I would love to use zombies.
So you get 48 teams, and each team is 5 guys, so it's like 20 to 40. 40 guys. See, math. So yeah, you can get 40 zombies running around.
I was using my fingers.
And then second gens, which you never get to use second gens in Dead Zone, because they suck too. You can get those guys. You can use those guys. And then they have the Aberration, that big guy from the Infestation.
Yes, yes, where we've seen concept art of two...
Yeah, two different versions, so hopefully we'll get both versions. And obviously Striders, and then they have something called the Plague Transport Gunship, which I assume is the same plane as the Enforcers, just plagued up a bit.
Just looking like Reavers.
Reavers? Oh, if they make it like Reavers? If they don't, you're going to make it like Reavers. We have Bitsbox, so you're going to just raid and stick stuff to?
Yeah, it would be, yeah. And there will be an Enforcer who wants to be like a leaf on the wind, and...
You get spoilers! And then they have also a Plague Battle Tank. They get a tank, too.
Which I'm hoping is just a bodged together Enforcer Corporation-looking machine. Yeah. That they. You know what? Even if Mantic had gave the same model... And you could swap out.
Yeah, just
out.
Swap bits. That's what they did with the
just like the Striders. Yeah. You buy that tank. You can either plug in this or plug in that or
that'd
do
be
whatever.
Awesome. Hopefully,
I would be all.
Or even
that.
They have the base tank and then you buy the Plague upgrade or something, which just throws all the extra bits on. Some
parts boxes, little accoutrement.
Mm-hmm. And then obviously you can have Plague Teratons as a squadron too, which is kind of fun because you can never have too many Teratons.
Well, if I wanted some more Teratons or some extra add-ons for my vehicles, I would just go to Cafe Press and order them from Dead Zone's website.
They have Teratons? No.
No?
You're just making stuff up now.
But do they have fine apparel?
They have fine apparel. We'll give you that much. And glassware.
Glassware? Like a mug?
You can get a Dead Zone mug. You have a Dead Zone mug.
I do, but...
We should have a picture up on your Dead Zone mug.
But the people at home don't, and that's why...
They could.
I'm shedding a tear.
No, you're shedding your whore.
Oh, okay. I had that coming.
So the next one is Corporation. The Corporation has things like Marines, and they have the Veterans, Rangers. It's funny, almost all these naming conventions were from somebody made a list. Must be from the original Warpath that these naming conventions come from. Because somebody made a list for Dead Zone and used all these same names, but it must be originally from the
I'm not Warpath. Tracking with you.
Dead Zone, somebody made a list. That's okay. What I used. to make my Dead Zone.
Oh, you did, yes, when you made your corporation.
But they must have, whoever made that list must have got it from the original Warpath, the names. Because veterans, rangers, marines, that's all from that.
Okay.
And sniper teams, well, that'd be kind of fun to have a sniper team. And Corporation Strider, there isn't no such thing as a Corporation Strider yet. I wonder if it's just going to be the Enforcer Strider, or are they going to have their own version? I hope it's more like a different version. That's definitely where we can use dust models. When you think of a Corporation Strider, I think of dust models.
Well, if only you had some.
If only I had bought way too many of them from Miniature Market.
Just give me a round number. Like, just how many dust mechs did you buy?
Altogether? Well, does that include the Russian, like, powered armor guys?
When you have to qualify multiples, it's too much.
Many.
Okay.
Probably in the 20s.
Holy sh**.
And they also have, Corporation also have a transport gunship and a battle tank. So it's maybe that's what's going to be plagueified, those ones. And then the last, but very not least, would be the Enforcers we have for. And the Enforcers are going to have just the regular Enforcers, ranged units. Then you get the assault teams, tank hunters, which are going to have the
rocket launchers, that have thus far been a bane to you, something that we've talked about how I think the stage twos are for use, because they're kind of a
similar, yeah.
They're
one shot, and then
they've got they've got potential, but it just hasn't been found in Dead Zone. Yeah. Well, that rocket launcher is the same thing.
Yeah, sure.
You know it's there. You know the potential. It just needs
never hit.
Well, it just needs to be in that environment.
And we have also never really played against Striders that much. I bet that would come into play a lot more if you're playing against Striders. You need something like that to knock a Strider.
Then, yeah, that's, but that's not, the Striders weren't in the original starter box.
No, that's right.
And now he's going to come into his own.
Yeah, it's funny. The rocket launcher really is only effective against other Enforcers.
There was, I think some of the starter box, some of the stuff was before its own time.
Yeah.
And it showed that they were going to unravel the bigger world.
Mm-hmm.
And he's, hopefully his time to shine is now. Johnny Rocket.
And they also have incinerators, more flamethrowers, defender teams, the guys with the shields, pathfinders, because they're just coming out. Jet bikes, which have a lot coming, so they're definitely going to be in.
You have about 10 of those coming, the last I heard.
I think so, or 8, maybe. And then peacekeepers, who are my favorite. And then you get the Striders, the Interceptor, which is the attack version of the plane, a bomber version of the plane, and it's pretty cool. I can't wait to get the plane.
So no troop transport.
I think they both have transport.
But I was going to preface that by saying as seen in Aliens.
Like a dropship? Yeah, that's kind of what this is.
No, like
Vehicle. They said that, yeah, that's the thing that I didn't like what they said about Warpath. Somewhere along the way, they've said that the Enforcers are supposed to be a quick in, quick out kind of thing, so they don't have tanks, they don't have APCs, that kind of stuff, which is very disappointing. But the Corporation does, so it might be Corporation. I might be switching to Corporation.
Oh.
Because I want those vehicles.
Just an APC. That's all you've ever asked.
It's true. All I want is an APC from Aliens, Mantic. Why can't you get for me?
Well, once you have the stat line for a Corporation APC, and
Enforcer's going to requisition it.
I'm sorry, we have our bureaucratic stamped by enough people. Here you go. I'm sorry, we have to.
Yep.
We but have that's to our, commandeer this vehicle.
That's our APC. Shut up, Jones.
Get your asses out.
That'd be pretty mean, but I will do that. I want an APC. And that wraps up the Warpath beta. We've covered it pretty solidly, I think. And hopefully, pretty soon, we'll get to cover the Dead Zone Infestation, or Dead Zone 2, or whatever they want to call it, beta. So we can't wait to get that, and we'll cover that in a similar manner.
Similar manner, more in depth. We've glossed obviously, this, because yeah. This isn't the Warpath
podcast. And it's just the very beta.
Podcast.
This is going to be the Dead Zone one's going to be based on something else that we already know, too.
And considering we now have a pretty good foundation of the knowledge of Dead Zone, plus what we would like to see, what other people in the community want to see. We've had a lot of discussions, much like we just talked to Coach. It's, we're not alone.
Yep.
He was fired up because of the same things that we were. So I'm very interested to see where they go.
And hopefully we'll get some more people coming on to discuss Dead Zone. We'll get some more interviews going. I like these interviews. They're working out well.
I do too. And really, we had a call to action on one of our podcasts when we were discussing. Said, anyone wanted to come on and talk to us about what we're going to be discussing? And it had to be weapons at this time. And Coach was
jumped up, yeah.
He got in contact with Rob. How did he do that? He
did it on Facebook, because we're Facebook buddies.
Well, there you go. See? You're moving up in the world.
That's right. I got connections. I'm Facebook buddies with Ronnie.
You're going to one of these days, you're just going to be like, you know what? You've been replaced.
That's it.
Anyone can.
One of these days? This has been Jack's last episode of Dead Zone Podcast.
But I can still do voices, right? I can do that.
Anyway, no. Jack is still going to be here.
Yes! No one else can do a pirate voice like I can.
That's right. And until that pirate comes back, I've been Rob.
And I'm Jack. And thank you for listening to the Dead Zone Podcast. And thank you to our guest. And thank you to Zen Terrain. And thank you all. Please do get in contact with us via Johnny Showmanship over here.
And good night.
Mr. Popular.
Mr. Black.
Thank you for listening to the Dead Zone Podcast. I have been your announcer, William Randolph Wintergreen. Visit the website, deadzonegame.podbean.com. Email your hosts at deadzonepodcast@gmail.com. On Twitter, you can follow the show at Dead Zone Podcast. The Dead Zone Podcast is a production of Vinland Old Time Radio Productions.
So far, Coach hasn't responded to my request for contact, but maybe I'll just call him. It'll work that way. But still got 13 minutes. Don't want to bother the guy. He's probably eating dinner or something.
Yeah, he's probably setting up, getting ready, getting his notes together, and he's thinking, oh, I got 15 minutes.
Yeah.
They're not sticklers. They don't sound like people who really hard and fast rule types.
Little does he know
that you get angry.
You're not early. I'm angry.
That's it. It's over. It's done.
Calling it off. And it seems the video card works now because I edited a video.
I watched it on YouTube.
Yeah, so it didn't crash this time. I was like, okay.
But it hadn't crashed the time before either, so...
No, it was just that one time. So, and it crashed every time.
It's going to be a...
Oh, yeah. You might screw up again next time.
I want to get more traffic to the YouTube. The last time I looked, we had 64 subscribers.
Wow, that much? I never knew that.
And I was like, okay, well, they say 100,000 is what you're gunning for.
And I'm a little short.
And I'm thinking, I want 100. So
I thought we had like 10. Last time I looked, we had like 10. See, Coach is just so enthusiastic, it gets you excited, doesn't it?
It was like, when we saw the mats from Mats with Mars, I was like, okay, that makes me want to play.
Mm-hmm.
Because sometimes you just need something. He made me want to play Dreadball and Warpath and Firefight and like
everything. Yeah,
he was just like so.
Like he's got the same thing that Ronnie has, where it's just he gets you excited just by hearing him.
It was infectious.
Yeah.
You have been listening to the Dead Zone Podcast, and now a word from the fine folks at Vinland Old Time Radio.
So, if you're enjoying this wonderful podcast, and you'd like some more similar funny, where can you find that, Jack?
We do have another podcast. It's called the Vinland Old Time Radio.podbean.com. It was found at VinlandOldTimeRadio.podbean.com because it's called Vinland Old Time Radio.
Hence the name.
It was a good catch on the old Earl to get that one.
It wasn't that hard.
You'd think everyone would have snatched that one up.
It just rolls off the tongue, that's for sure. Nice and short, too.
Vinland Old Time Radio.
.podbean.com.
Yes.
It's only like 30-some-odd characters.
Really? You could tweet that.
Barely, yes. Believe me. Vinland OTR. Check it out. See me try to tweet our podcast name.
On VinlandOldTimeRadio.podbean.com.
That's the one. Bringing old-time radio to the 21st century.
With style.
Jazzy. Check it out.